Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Blow the Man
Down.
On a New England isle, in a good seaport town,
come
away, blow the man down.
Can you start over? I'm confused.
It was confusing.
But you had to do it right.
Oh no, I lost control. With a brick.
You said it was a harpoon.
So what are we gonna do now?
I should have just called the police.
Blow the man down.
Okay, so this is on Amazon for free. This is an Amazon original.
We talked about it several months ago as a movie that deserves more hype.
That's correct. And since... there's not much going on in the theaters. I think we're kind of going to keep doing this, is just going back or going around and scooping up things that are on streaming, maybe more indie flicks. I don't know, Tom.
We'll figure it out. Blow the Man Down, I think, hit Amazon this week.
Yeah.
It hit it very recently.
Yeah. This is a new film. And we're going to spoil it. So I was just saying, this is free. Guys, you might want to consider watching it before listening to this. Tom, how did you like this movie?
I really liked it.
Me too. That's why I was like, maybe go watch it. Because I really enjoyed this movie. It brightened up my morning. I guess technically my afternoon, because I woke up late.
I watched it this morning, so it brightened up my morning.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys, just right out of the gate, Marina really wanted to be on this episode.
Yeah. I really wanted to know what she had to say about this,
because this movie is about, two sisters whose mother has just died. They grew up and live in a very small fishing village
up in Maine.
And Marina grew up in a very small fishing village in Virginia. And like just the whole movie, she's like, yep, this is exactly what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has this fishing village thing is clearly very specific to that.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a lot of New England stuff in general. A lot of Maine stuff that I didn't quite understand, I didn't quite relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Or as much. I know, I grew up in New England, so we had the lobster stuff. We had Cape Cod. We had similar, fishing stuff, but it's also just a lot of small town stuff.
Right, yeah.
Where, every small town has, that underbelly, the crime aspect. Some towns more than others.
Yeah, and it's... I think the thing that... And I don't know if it's true, because I didn't grow up in a small town. But Marina said it was the same for her where she grew up in Gloucester, Virginia, is that it's matriarchal.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's something I would love to hear about, because that's not something I have experienced.
I don't know. I think that might be fishing villages specifically, because the men typically spend several months a year at sea.
Right. Right away, this movie is... mostly women in it. All the men are kind
almost
of in the background.
Women, yeah. Yeah, it's
and
almost
they're
all women.
Just kind of funny.
Yeah, you have the one young cop who's actually trying to solve the mystery.
It's great because the men are still they have an attitude where I think they think they're in charge.
Right, but they're absolutely not.
Yeah, they're absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think about the part where they're all all the women are eating lunch.
The guy comes in, I drop my fork.
Yeah. And just stares at them, and she's like, oh, okay, and gets him a fork.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about like serious crime shit.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. He's like a baby. Swanson, I dropped my fork.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the personalities reminded me of is Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Like
for
that
sure.
guy, like, hello yourself. Like,
hello yourself, young fella. How are you?
They're like the old New England guys, fisherman types. It's fantastic. This it's about two sisters whose mom just died, and one of them goes out to the bar. She doesn't want to be there anymore. Like,
right. She was supposed to go to college, but she skipped a year to stay home and take care of their ailing mother, and then she's just now died. And left them with a boatload of bills, medical bills, the mortgage for the house they can't pay, and also a fishery, a store,
right?
That they can't afford to keep open. She's extremely resentful.
Yeah, and they're sort of the other sister is a little more like loyal to the town, more optimistic, I would say.
I don't know about optimistic. She's much more George Bailey. From It's a Wonderful Life, where she's just like, she's taking the hit and taking care of things because it's like, quote unquote, the right thing to do. So like she puts aside anything she may want to do to just take care of the family business because somebody has to.
So she's the other sister, I mean, goes out to the bar, meets a real scumbag, gravitates towards the scummiest of scumbags.
Right, just a guy who's so scummy he has his own gravitational pull.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like it's like a reverse pig pen.
Right. He's the scumbaggiest of scumbags.
He's got like the shit goatee, like the real shitty one. And you can smell the cigarettes on him from the TV that you're watching.
Yeah.
And so she gets in his car and like they go driving and he starts snorting drugs. And then she notices he has a gun in the car. And so that's a red flag.
Yeah.
And what I like about what happens next is it's, I guess, at first ambiguous in
it
terms
is,
of...
I think it's ultimately ambiguous.
Yeah,
but
I guess you're right.
It is unclear. Like,
I assumed he was the one who later... There's two murders.
Yes,
and I assumed he did this the second one.
You mean the woman that they find in the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he 100% did at the direction of Margot.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know if you meant that was ambiguous. So yeah, the moment is ambiguous.
I don't because his intentions are ambiguous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because he's like a scumbag, but he's not necessarily a murderer in these scenes. They crash into the town like
the town mascot, which is like this giant cardboard fisherman.
Yeah. That I really related to. My hometown had a giant milk bottle that everybody was really proud of.
Yeah, and then the late night drunk driving, like swerving all over the road.
Yeah,
Marina was like, "Yep, that's town. That's small town Gloucester. That's what everybody does."
I think about that. Yeah, in my teen years. Small town driving, like I didn't drive drunk, but I drove on other substances like weed, and it's funny how it's like I worked at a diner in my town and there would just be so many drunks coming to the because it was a 24-hour diner, and people would just pull up drunk, and it's like long highways, long road stretches, no one gave a fuck.
One for the road used to literally mean that.
Oh, yeah. A couple of road sodas.
Yeah. The cops would pull you over and see you with a bottle and be like, get on home.
Yeah.
It was a different time. Several decades
ago. That's the thing. It's still like my hometown is still a small town, only the cops have like riot gear and a tank for some reason, thanks to the weird militarization of cops. Like it's weird. My town only had the one murder. My town, and they never quite solved it, but they got an idea of who it was.
Oh, we had tons of murders.
Okay, yeah, mine was a little more quaint.
Yeah,
only the one. I believe.
We did have a famous murder, though. In my friend's neighborhood, where a guy killed his wife, rolled her up in a carpet, and stuck her in the closet. And then just tried to carry on like nothing was going on.
Right. Like, that is that.
He got busted. He was mowing his lawn, and the neighbors noticed the smell, I believe. So yeah, he was just outside cutting the grass, like trying to pretend like nothing was going on.
Oh, man. I feel like that's a lot of like crimes of passion where they just like snap, put them on the bed or something, and then
everything's going to cut the grass. Got to cut the grass. Yeah. Can't get the grass too long.
Yeah.
If the grass is too long, people will start to notice.
They drive to his place on the docks. Mm-hmm. He's like checking the damage on the car and opens the trunk, and she sees blood back there.
And women's clothing.
Yeah. And so that's red flag number two.
That is an enormous red flag.
Yeah. So, like, from here on, she does something completely understandable.
Of course.
Yeah. He says, like, oh, that's just...
Well, he says, like, what do you think you saw? And like...
Yeah, he says, like, I work at the docks. That was, like, from fish back there.
Right. He is being aggressive. Like, he's up against her, and she's like, get off me. She has to say it several times. And then he finally does, but then she runs off.
And then it's almost like a horror movie for a second. She's running through the docks, hiding from him.
And he's just kind of walking around like, hey, come on, come out, come on. And then she fucking stabs him in the neck with a harpoon.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, she just stabs him
in the neck with a harpoon.
I burst into laughter.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And I think this is what I mean by it being ambiguous, is that he's absolutely, like, if she had called the cops after this, I think
she would have been fine. Yeah, she would have been fine.
But they make it ambiguous enough from her perspective that they're not sure if they should. Because she doesn't, he's aggressive towards her. There's the blood in the car. He gives like a explanation that in the moment maybe you could tell yourself like, oh, what if he was right? What if that's what it was? And she immediately does what you want her to do, which is just go for the neck. Like he doesn't. It's not like a struggle and she's a last resort. No, he's in the docks by himself. She lurches out like Jason Voorhees
and impales his throat. Yeah. And it's. That's the ambiguous part is, we find out late. I mean, he's absolutely a scumbag. He almost certainly killed somebody at the direction of somebody else. But it's not clear. Like, he's not violent with her in this scene. So it's like he may not have intended to harm her.
Right. And she could have, I guess, run away.
Right.
Again, watching it as a movie, knowing how movies go, I was just like, shut that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
And she does, and then she
fucking does.
Yeah, and then he grabs her leg, probably because he needs help
as he's dying. Yeah,
yeah, and she takes a brick to his face.
Yep.
And I think that's what she's like. Oh, I don't know if we can call the cops after I did that.
Yeah.
So
executed a helpless man at that point.
Yeah, and I guess talking about how ambiguous this is, it's because the movie needs to set up a premise that's difficult, because it's the why not call the cops right here and now?
Because if you come from a small town, again, it would have been so good to have Marina on. Then she's very, very sorry she couldn't do it today. She just wasn't feeling well enough to do
definitely
it.
Definitely have her on for something else soon.
It's because you don't call the cops in a small town. In a small town, the community takes care of it, and that's what happens in this movie.
But in this moment, they, like, in terms of the film convincing us of that, making us get past this moment, because it's the biggest hurdle of the film, I think.
Really? That they don't call the police?
What I mean is the biggest challenge of making a film like this is convincing the audience that it's, you know, a lot of movies have these moments, right? It's the moment where the character, you're watching the TV, and if they're doing a bad job, you're screaming at them.
Right.
And saying, just call the cops. It's the thing of, like, your entire premise has to start from the characters doing something that the audience could perceive as being extremely dumb. And I thought they pulled it off.
They do, because how they do it is Mary Beth, who is the sister that kills the guy, comes back to Pris's house, who is the older sister who's the George Bailey of the family.
Right.
And she's covered in blood, and she's extremely drunk. That's very important.
Yes.
Is that she's extremely drunk.
Yeah, and in her head, she attacked him.
Well, and she can't
in the moment, she's drunk.
She can't articulate to Pris what happened.
Yeah,
like she like Pris keeps asking her. So he attacked you. She's like, maybe he did, and like.
Yeah,
and then
she's
she says,
not quite sure herself what happened.
Right, and then she says, well, maybe we could say it was self-defense, but then I definitely lost control with the brick, and then Pris is like, a brick? I thought you said it was a harpoon. So, like, she doesn't know, Pris doesn't have all the information, so she starts to call the cops and then hangs up as soon as they pick up.
Yes.
And I think they make that believable because
Well, they set it up a little bit.
Yeah, she's trying to, like, she doesn't, like, Mary Beth is not being coherent, so she doesn't really know what happened, and she doesn't want to call the police and get her sister arrested if her sister really did just kill somebody.
Oh, there was also, I really like this, is that in the earlier scene, they're at their mom's funeral, mm-hmm. and that's when we meet, like, the women of the neighborhood, these nice, sweet old women.
The matriarchs.
The matriarchs, and they talk about, they all love their mom, and they talk about how she'd always help them out if they were in a jam. And they, like, specifically note her boots, putting on her, like, galoshes mm-hmm. or whatever, and, like, bringing, like, a sewer pump to her house one time.
Yep.
And so the sister, having heard all that, when she hears about the murder, that's the first thing she puts on her mother's
boots.
She
puts on the galoshes, yep.
Yeah, and it's the idea of, like, I want to support my sister. I want to be like my mom. There's that element in there, too. And then the fact that they just don't know. So she knows, like, yeah, she should call the police, but she doesn't know what's going to happen to her sister.
And there's also, in that exchange during the funeral and then what we see in the film's finale, it's like there's that implication, like, she could have gone to the matriarchs right then and they would have taken care of it.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So the murder happens. And then there's a whole other aspect to this film we haven't talked about. Which is the bordello.
Yeah, Margot Martindale plays, what was her name, Adina?
I'm bad with names. I remember seeing Beverly Marsh in there, too. Did you notice Beverly Marsh?
No.
The one of the matriarchs is Beverly Marsh.
Oh, from the miniseries. Yeah.
Yeah. She'll show up every now and then in something. I always wonder what she's up to.
Well, Margot Martindale runs this bed and breakfast in town that's actually a brothel.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the key point of the story is, like, years and years ago when all the matriarchs were young women, they all decided together to turn the bed and breakfast into a brothel to sort of, it's very cynical, but to protect their community against, like, the sailors that were coming into port.
Yeah, as
basically.
She said, it's a port. It's a dark place. It used to be a bad place. And the idea is the brothel took all of that and, like, put that energy into one place and was able to profit off of it. Like,
right. It was like a wall between them and like, it's like, well, it would have either otherwise it would have been our daughters, they say. So
right. And from their perspective, the idea is they've turned something that would have made them victims into profiting off of people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the twist or the reveal is that they did this by making other women victims.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say it, they pay it lip service at the end. I don't know if they actually believe it.
Right.
But the other matriarchs, now that, Pris and Mary Beth's mom is dead, like, she was, like, Margot Martindale's big defender in her corner. And now that she's dead, they want Margot Martindale to shut down the brothel, and she doesn't want to. She's probably my favorite character in the movie, actually.
I mean, she's a great fucking villain.
She is, and she's a great actress. So,
yes.
Like, she's like, well, you guys, like, I inherited this bed and breakfast, and then you guys made me turn it into this, and now you want me to shut it down because you don't like what I am now?
Right.
So it's like, it's understandable why she's pissed about it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has a very, like, understandable perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what's going on in this, because they say something like, you broke the rules, later, and she's like, what? Because I didn't have kids? Because I didn't get married?
I didn't go to the bake sale? And they're like, not those rules.
Right, but sort of those rules. Like, that's...
Yeah.
The thing is, she's become kind of a crime boss.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood that they created.
Yep. They set her up in that position.
Yeah, and so...
And it turns out that the guy that Mary Beth killed is her stick man.
Yeah.
And he basically, what ends up happening is.
We should talk about them hiding the body first.
Right. And this is the most unbelievable aspect of this movie to me is that they cut apart an adult male body with a fillet knife.
Yes. The bones, they're going to have to.
That knife is made for fish bones. Like, it will not... Like they sort of imply that she cuts to the joints, but even then...
I think what you'd have to do, Tom, is you would cut around the arm...
And then break it.
And then you would step on the body and pull up on the arm so the bone snapped, right?
Yeah.
They don't show us.
You'd have to 127 hours that shit. You'd have to break your arm.
Yeah.
And then cut through the break.
Yeah. That's a task. That will tire you out. Cutting up a body is exhausting.
Yeah.
One imagines. Yeah, but it's a great sequence since they have this cooler and they're trying to stuff his fucking dumbass in there.
And they can't get him in. There's a lot of quick cuts that are kind of funny. Like, they're like, should we take his shoes off?
Yeah.
like that would make a difference.
Right. And then one of them sort of sarcastically says, like, are we going to have to cut up the body or something? And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess we are. We're all in here.
Yep.
Because again, there's like a moment where like, we really can't call the police now. Because the moment you're trying to stuff a body in a cooler, it really doesn't matter what you tell the police at that point.
Nope.
So they tie it up, they put an anchor on it, and they hurl it into the ocean.
Honestly, they should have just tied the anchor to his body and thrown his body in the ocean.
That's the thing, is the ocean will take care of the flesh.
Yeah. As long as you sink it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Get it. I mean, really make sure, really pin it down there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're good. Or you know what, Tom?
What's that?
He was drinking, you put him in his car. Drive the car over. Make it look like an accident, Tom.
It's an even better idea.
Yeah. It's real simple. You can get away with this. It's
sure.
Yeah. People do it all the time.
Or if you're like Blood Simple and you've got an incinerator in the back, just fucking throw the body in that.
Oh, yeah. But not everybody has an incinerator.
According to The Irishman, that's what happened to Jimmy Hoffa.
Right. Right. Yeah. You could break into a place with an incinerator. That's even better because then they can't tie it to you. It's not your incinerator.
Right. It's not your incinerator. Your name is not on the incinerator's receipt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You didn't pay for that incinerator.
It's perfect. Or what you do?
You pull a
Mr. Brooks. You got to pull Mr. Brooks, Tom.
Oh,
you
and bury him underneath a coffin. Yeah,
yeah. No one will fucking look there.
You bury Dane Cook underneath a coffin.
Damn right you do. Spoilers for Mr. Brooks.
Spoilers for the fucking 12-year-old film, Mr. 13-year-old film, Mr. Brooks.
Starring Kevin Costner and Dane Cook. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's a wild ass movie.
It is. So they throw the body in the water, and then throughout the movie, there's sort of a hint of the body. You know, they keep cutting to the water. They keep cutting. At one point, they cut to the fucking cooler floating. So you know that shit's gonna come back.
Oh yeah.
And then we meet the small town cop who's just adorable.
Right. He was classmates with Pris. He clearly has a crush on her.
Yeah, he's got that real thick accent.
Oh, yeah.
Main accent. And he needs to borrow her boat to go get the body. And it's a very small town.
That's another thing. Marina used to work at the Crown Point Marina in Gloucester, Virginia. And the police had to borrow skiffs from them to go fish bodies out of the water.
Yeah, it checks out. Yeah, so she thinks, oh, God, it's going to be the body we killed.
Yep.
It's a woman who works at the brothel. Yep. So that's what it becomes. Is it becomes there's another murder, and then the matriarch, the owner of the brothel, she has to track down this scumbag that she had kill this woman, and finds that he's missing.
They never say it.
What, that he killed her?
Uh huh.
I know. You could say that she killed her.
It's never explicit, but the implication is that the scumbag killed her at Margo Martindale's direction.
Yeah.
Because we find out that the dead woman, who's named Dee, stole $50,000 from Margot Martindale's safe.
Right. Which is found out by another woman who works at the brothel.
Mm-hmm. And we see it in the very beginning. You remember when the car swerves off the road and the woman runs out of the car and the guy's chasing after her and she shouts, "You're never going to get that money."
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So she goes to the guy's house to look for him, and she finds the knife because they forgot the knife at his place. They think maybe the knife's with his body.
Right. The Pris notices the next day at the shop that she doesn't have the knife and she doesn't know where she dropped it.
Right.
And you're thinking, oh my God, it's in the cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking, is they're gonna find it. Because the knife has their family name on it. Very obviously theirs.
Yes.
They don't do great with covering up. Like, they don't wrap their hair up. They don't make sure their DNA. I mean, it's a small town, so what's going to happen?
When Mary Beth goes to the guy's house to look for the knife and she finds the money, she immediately spends some of it. Like, she drops a $100 bill on a single drink at the bar. It's like, oh, Mike, that's Bush League. Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, they're new. They're new at this. Yeah, they find money. They find money that turns out to be money that the boss paid the doc to let her women hang out there.
Well, it was all of her money.
Oh!
And a portion of that money was supposed to go to the harbor master to allow her women to keep working at the dock.
Okay.
Yeah, like Dee, the dead woman, stole all of it from Martin Dale's
safe. Got it. Oh, that's the stolen money.
Right, so the bad guy, whose name is Gorski, I think, the dead guy, the scumbag, he killed Dee and took the money back, and he had it hidden in his floorboard, presumably because he was going to bring it back.
Right, but you don't know.
But Mary Beth killed him, so
right.
Never got the money back. The money never got paid to the harbor master, so.
Yeah, so now we have a situation where she knows that they were involved.
She knows they have the money, yeah.
Yeah, she also knows they have the money. So it becomes a very simple thing where she's very kind to them because she likes their mom.
Yeah, their mom was her friend.
That's what makes this all very interesting, is they're all that's the kind of the reveal at the end, is they walk down the street and they're all neighbors. Like, they all live in the same area. It's a small town.
Yeah.
So she goes to them and she basically says, yeah, I'll bring you your knife if you bring me my money. Otherwise, I'm going to go to the police.
Well,
or worse.
Worse. Yeah, what she says is, I can do one of two things, and the nice one is turn you in.
Yeah.
So she basically says she's going to kill them.
Yeah. They end up, well, all right, this whole time there's also the cop and the older cop. The young cop pretty much puts it together, but he never says it.
Yeah, he figures it out, and he goes to a bar. Like, he knows that they called the police late at night and hung up.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a bar and learns that Mary Beth was hitting on Gorski, the scumbag. So he stakes out their house, but they go out the back door, and he falls asleep. So he doesn't see them go to Margot Martindale's house to give the money back.
Yeah, he has no evidence, but at the very end, they see them walking down the road, and the older cop is like, oh, that's your sweetheart there, you know? That's the woman you like.
Yeah, you want to do a drive-by? And he's like, I don't like her anymore.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that's it. That's the movie ends.
Yeah, I loved how simple that was. He's just like, I'm not going to say anything, but she covered up a murder, I'm pretty sure, so not into it.
Yeah.
Not into it.
And it's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad. It's like the only consequence.
Yeah, Pris is doing her best. She's not a bad person. Mary Beth's not a bad person. She killed a guy that was probably going to assault her.
Yeah. But he doesn't know the details, I think.
Right, he doesn't know the details, yeah.
Yeah, it is sad. That was a sad part. I felt sad for him, too, because he was so into her.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy.
He was a nice guy, and they would have been, yeah. So they go to her house to, like we said, he fell asleep in the car. They leave the back. They take the boat. They go to her house and they give her the money back. And I love this fucking scene. She's lying in bed.
It's a great scene.
Yeah, because that's the whole time, none of these people are menacing, but they so are at the same time.
All the matriarchs?
All the matriarchs. They all feel so dark, like that they can absolutely do something to you at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that, like, you know, she obviously hired a guy to kill this woman, or maybe she did it herself. I don't know.
Pretty sure he did it.
Yeah, probably. She's lying in bed and they bring the money, and then she just starts talking about how much she misses their mom. And like, all is forgiven, basically, in that moment, it seems. Like, it's kind like, it's of, not even, she, it's not even important.
She gets upset. Like, she tries to...
She tries to give them money and tries to hook them into her business.
She tries to give them part of the money and it's like, hey, and then you can just start working for me on the business side. Like, you guys, you know, she's like, doesn't want them to be sex workers, but she's like, you guys can work on the business side. And like,
she doesn't give them the knife.
We can't do that.
Yeah. She also falls asleep briefly while they're talking to her.
She's housed at this point. She's been drinking like all night. So that's also, it's very, the level of drunkenness of characters in this movie is very important.
Yes.
So she gets mad at them. They refuse the money. She slaps Mary Beth and then falls down. Yeah. And it's very humiliating.
And they're just like, we're taking our knife.
Well, but they help her up.
Oh, yeah. Because it's this weird dynamic. It's
right. Well, they've known her their entire life, and she was like a very close friend of their mom's. And it's like, she is a bad person, but she was forced into that situation,
right,
by the very same people who are now telling her that it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the matriarchs are like, you got to stop this, and she's like, you made me do this.
Yeah.
Like, so they all agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great moment where she drunk drives to their house and they're all standing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, it's like no different than Scorsese films. Like, it has that same feeling of like, this is your final warning. You know, we're gonna sell you friendly. You need to not do this. And then after this, you're on your own.
I mentioned it earlier, but it's very The Irishman.
Yeah.
Or like Pacino just fucking won't stop it. And they're like, look, man, if you don't stop, we can't help you anymore after this.
Instead of like machismo, it's that like old lady energy.
It's very gentle, old lady New Englanders.
A lot of tea.
A lot of like, oh, we can redo the bed and breakfast and make it an actual bed and breakfast, and like they're trying to be very sweet about it, but it's also there's also, like you said, there's a quiet menace to it. It's like, you need to do this or else.
We haven't talked about too much about the other sex worker who was friends with Dee, who this whole time you hear her, she's like listening to her voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And the matriarchs kind of take her in.
And they try to,
but you can't tell how much they're manipulating her. Like, they take her in for tea and whatever, and they talk to her, and they try to slowly push her that direction.
Right. They infer that maybe it was Margot Martindale that killed Dee.
One of them is like, you forgot your jacket, and like pulls up next to her and gives her a jacket that has a like, I'm sorry for your loss card.
Yeah, a bereavement card in it. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And that's huge because nobody has given her that. No one's said, I'm sorry about your friend.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about Dee. Nope. And they show we care. And that's the whole thing, is they say like, they're someone's daughters, you know, like,
yeah,
they think of them like actual human beings. And so I can't tell how much of it's manipulation, how much of it's just compassion. It's maybe both, because then they bring her in at the end when she realizes that Dee indeed went through the safe and was killed for it. So she goes back to them and they confront what's her name?
Margot Martindale. I think her name is Adina in the movie. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I forget.
And she's the friend is watching, and then after the scene where they give back the money and get the knife,
when she's passed out drunk on the bed, she comes downstairs and smothers her to death with a pillow.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how much of that is a crime of passion and how much of that was a suggestion, you know? Like, because they basically warn her, like, we're going to do something to you, you know? Like, they're very passive about it, but you don't really know... Like, that's sort of the point, is you don't know.
I didn't get that implication.
Well, the ending shot, to me, implies these women know their way around some crime.
Because
they talk about it all the time. We started this all together, and then they all split off. Because the ending is they're walking down the street, the two sisters.
Well, the cooler wash. We don't actually. It's a cool shot. We don't actually see it, but we hear. It's a low angle shot from the water, looking up at the jetty. We see one of the. I think it's Beverly Marsh. We see one of the matriarchs looking down at the water, and we hear something banging up against the dock. And so we're supposed to assume it's the cooler. And then we get to that scene where they're walking down the street.
Yeah, they're walking down the street. They're all singing sea shanties, which is a big part of this movie, too. They keep
cutting
sea
shanties.
The sailors singing sea shanties. And so they're all singing Blow the Man Down. And she looks over and notices one of the matriarchs is spraying out the cooler with her hose. And she looks up at her and smiles. And then that's the end.
Well, they pass each of the matriarchs in turn.
Right.
The first one is hauling two heavy garbage bags.
Oh, right.
The second one is burying something with a shovel.
Right.
And the third one is spraying out the cooler.
Right. So they all got together and hid the body for
them.
They
made it go away.
Yeah. And so... It's such a good ending. So that's what I mean, is like, I don't know how sinister they are, because they clearly know how to handle a body.
Yeah.
They're fixers. They're definitely the good guys in this. They're definitely the heroes in a way.
In a way.
Or they're a force for good. But they clearly have a very dark past. They created this monster. They created the crime in this town. And so I'm curious if you think they gave that woman, like, the push she needed to smother
Lexi
and kill.
Lexi is her name.
Lexi is the...
Is the sex worker that smothers Margot Martindale.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if they urged Lexi to do it, because they knew... They're so subtly manipulative. They know exactly how to...
They push her in the direction of thinking that it was Margot Martindale.
Yeah, and when they confront her, they have her upstairs watching. So they probably knew, like, this'll take care of itself.
I don't know if they had her upstairs watching.
What happened with the cops? Because the cops, didn't they bust the brothel at the end?
No.
Okay, because the first time the cops go to the brothel, the chief clearly has been there many of times.
Right, and he loves Adina.
Yes, and she says stuff like, he says, like, that she was into drugs, D, and she says, oh, I don't know anything about that, but that's a good lead, she says to him.
Yeah.
Which is, like, making him know, like, yeah, explore that. Don't explore us. Explore that. There's a lot of that, a lot of subtle manipulations and pushing the cop in the direction.
Right.
I was just thinking later, the young cop says, my boss did a 180 on the investigation, on the murder investigation.
Oh, I may have missed that.
Oh, okay. And I thought the implication there is that the matriarchs talked to the cop as well and manipulated him in the other direction.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like, because clearly that cop was like, you know, he spent decades looking the other way on this
brothel. Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks the other way. That's what small town cops do.
Oh, yeah. And so, but like, I liked how easily he could be manipulated in any direction, depending on what these matriarchs wanted.
Right, because at the end, they're sitting outside. He's just eating pie that one of them made for him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he says something about busting the brothel.
Mm.
So it was very vague, but it felt like he then decided, like, he was then manipulated or pushed or told to go after the brothel at the end.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah, Lexi steals the money and takes the remaining Tanya, the remaining woman working at the brothel, and they leave town.
Yeah, and they bail.
Yep.
And the two sisters, one of them decides to stay. The other one's probably going to go.
Right. No, Pris says, like, well, we'll marry Beth. Like, Mary Beth kind of grows up over the course of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and takes responsibility for herself. And then she's like, well, I think I figured out a way that we could keep the house. And she's like, well, no, we can, we don't need to, it's a house. It's just a house. We got to send you to college.
Yeah.
So Pris is going to make sure that Mary Beth gets to go to college. So it's kind of a happy ending.
Oh, it's. I think it's 100% happy. It's just, you know, because the two sisters who didn't, they didn't want any of this. Like, they were born into it.
Right, and like when they give the money back to Margot Martindale, they're like, we spent some of it, but we had to. It's yeah. because they're literally broke.
Which like makes they, it great they, when she's like, take more money and come work for me, and they're like, no,
yeah,
we're
we
not
can't
taking
do that. Yeah, yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, it's. I feel like there's an... you could interpret this as the idea of millennials trying to make it on their own and not wanting to do what their parents did. Like, the idea of, look, it's hard out there. It's unfair for us. But we can't just do what you want. We can't live under your... You know what I mean? Where it's the opportunity they're given at the end is...
Well, it's dark and it's exploitative and...
Well, yeah, it's definitely... It's not like, come work for my lumber yard. It's just... I like that generational thing that's happening.
It's exploitative in the sense that Margot Martindale is unfair and it's clear she doesn't pay the women.
Right.
Like sex work is... I'm not saying that sex work is exploitative. But the brothel that she
the
had set up absolutely
is.
Was, yes. Yeah. Like, she wasn't, yeah. like, it's revealed that she owed Dee a bunch of money, and that's kind of why Dee robbed her.
Right.
Like, she wasn't paying her.
There's that beautiful moment where, what's her name, Lexi, mm-hmm. is talking to her, and it's very clear. She's like, she didn't like you, by the way. Dee didn't like you. And she starts telling her horrible things about her friend. And it's very clear, like, oh, she hated, she killed Dee. Like, she had a problem with Dee.
It's a great scene because she comes in and she's like, they told me that maybe you killed her. And she's like, what do you think? She's like, I don't know. And then, like, she starts being sweet. And then she starts saying all these terrible things about Dee. And then Lexi pushes back a little bit. And then Margot Martindale gets, like, real intense for a second and, like, grabs her by the face.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't you forget how much I've done for you. And then she's like, come here and give me a hug. Like,
it's so perfect.
Perfect example of an abusive relationship.
Yeah. She's, what
she's like,
a
oh,
villain.
I am your only safe haven, you know?
Fucking, yeah.
Yep.
It's a real, oh, man. Matriarchal fucking villains in movies.
Great. It's great.
They're fucking great. I was thinking of, was it called Animal Kingdom?
I still haven't seen that. I need to.
That's the noise I'll make.
what's whole time while I'm watching it.
She won a she won an Oscar too.
Jackie Weaver.
Jackie Weaver, thank you.
Yep.
She was fantastic in that.
She was in the new Grudge.
What?
She was in the new Grudge.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. She was good in that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, this is less, because with Animal Kingdom, it's she's more subtle. It's more like Laura Linney in Mystic River.
Mystic River, yeah.
Yeah, where you're like, the ending, you're like, oh my God.
Oh, she's Lady Macbeth, okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the whole time, all right.
The whole time.
Yeah,
this movie's great. People should watch this movie. It's not, if you're worried about... I don't know who would be worried about. It's not that gory.
Oh, not really at
it's
all.
It's not
they don't
that
really show
violent.
Really show anything. They don't. It's about abuse, but like that scene we just described.
It's not that intense.
It's the extent of the intensity. So I'm not sure that it'll miss. Well, it might still be triggering for people, but.
Well, it could be to an extent. It's more about manipulation. These
right.
women. Or this particular woman, the villain, is very manipulative. Like the part where she's
they
like,
"They all are," but yeah.
I miss your mother, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so, like," where she, yeah, they feel bad for her. She falls over and stuff like that, and it's like, "Don't fucking trust her, don't trust her." She is a fucking villain.
Yeah, she's a lantern fish.
Yeah,
like, don't trust it.
Don't trust it. Oh man, what a film! I'm glad I watched this one.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. You have any more thoughts on it? No,
other than that, it was written and directed by two women filmmakers, and I'm excited. I want to I should have done it before we recorded. I wanted to read more about them to see if they grew up in like a small fishing village.
They must have. Yeah, when we did Movies That Deserve More Hype, we talked about it more. And I remember when we did Movies That Deserve More Hype, we talked about this as seeming like Fargo-like. It's not.
It's not at all.
They advertised it to make it kind of feel like a Fargo. It's not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, not even
nothing
close
to do with Fargo.
It's not shot like Fargo. It's not written like Fargo.
It's more like, I wouldn't even say it's like A Simple Plan. It's closer to A Simple Plan than it is to Fargo, but yeah. It's not the same spiral of mistakes and shit that A Simple Plan is.
Crime drama. I wouldn't even call it a thriller. Not really. There's a little bit of tension, but it's mostly about just watching it unfold and seeing what's going to happen.
It's mostly about the characters.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah.
I hope they make more movies.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited for this career. They wrote it too, right?
Yeah, written and directed by these two women. I liked the two lead actresses too. I hope they do more stuff.
They were great. Everybody was great.
Yeah.
What a good film.
It's a good movie.
just a really good movie that everybody should watch.
If you have Amazon Prime, it's included. Like, there's no reason not to watch it. It's 90 minutes. It moves by very quickly. It's just a real good crime drama.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you're doing good out there.
Yeah.
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 That's what we say around. We go, yeah.
Yeah. We do the Howard Dean, yeah.
Jeez, guys. If you're interested, you should check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. There was a free episode of Fox Mulder is a Maniac yesterday. So if you've never listened to it, now's your chance.
Yeah. It's great. We appreciate your support so much. And if you can't afford to do the Patreon right now, that's totally fine. Leave us a review.
Yeah.
That helps us out a lot.
iTunes or wherever. That would be fantastic. Yeah. We really appreciate you guys.
We have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, but I'm not going to ask you guys to buy t-shirts right now.
Sure. Just stickers.
Just stickers.
Stickers only, guys.
You can use the stickers as a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Plug them over your nostrils. You'll look great.
Yeah. You'll look amazing.
Yeah. Nah, stay safe, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that.
Our stickers, we can't legally say they will protect you, but I'm winking right now.
Yep. Heavily winking.
Yeah.
We can't legally say that our stickers will give you eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me winking?
Yeah. I'm winking with both eyes.
I'm winking directly into the microphone.